This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Well, that's also part of the problem. He worked essentially for Fox, but for the UFC, and now he's an independent guy. You know, some of them work for teams, and they're treated a certain way, and they get certain information. Then they go and they're working for somebody else. Teams can cut them off. So who do you trust? You could turn him into a trusted name by giving him information. But then, if he goes somewhere else, is he still trusted? And I think it's a huge, huge problem. I don't know that it was because he broke the Lesnar story, probably.
I don't understand, Fred, why the entire staff is still in place. Like, Briles is going to get dismissed, whatever the terminology they used, suspended, because maybe that's in his contract before he's officially fired. But why would you keep all of the assistant coaches in place when clearly they had knowledge of what was going on and were part of this, right?
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Lou Woodard, with two W's. It looks odd, but it works.
Hey.
And you know what, Tyler? Just change it right now. Don't ask any questions, and don't take any crap from Laminack about this.
Is it obscene? Like what? Like no. What's the reason why we can't say his Twitter?
Because
handle?
It's dumb. He just keeps going to all these different ones, and he's going to leave it at this one, at producer Tyler 975. Go change it to that right now. It sounds simple, but we're building your brand as a producer. So
All right. That's
it. I have spoken at producer Tyler 975.
Do not I have change a little bit of leeway with it?
Like what? What
like
leeway
maybe just
is
like
there?
Tyler the producer.
Okay, that's okay.
If you
that's
can fine. Find that, okay. Sure.
Yeah,
Tyler, what is it right now? What is it that Fred has such a big problem with?
It's T to the Scott.
T see what I mean? To the Scott.
Yeah, see, that's just...
Like, my nickname is T.
Well,
Scott,
is his last name...
Yeah,
well, if his last name is Scott, like, it's kind of it.
It's stupid. I mean, okay. we've got to build his brand here.
All right,
like, David has David Danger. That works.
That's
he's
good. He's a dangerous at the beginning
man.
Of his.
He does have an underscore, and that's fine, but... You know what? With his persona, that one works. It's the only thing he's done that works today, but
Ooh.
It works.
Ooh.
I'm just kidding.
And he apologized for that immediately. Like, Philpott took 30 seconds to fall on his sword. Like, he didn't even try to explain himself.
I'm just kidding. Come on. Yeah. I'm having fun with it. He knows that. Trust me, David knows the routine. When he comes, anytime he's around us, well, anybody who comes on this show realizes that you're going to get it at some point.
Yeah.
Because we give it to each other. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And if we're not making fun of you or giving you grief or telling you screwed up, then we really don't care enough about you anyway. So,
all right.
But okay. So Tyler, that's the way to go. Cause we're going to build you up as the producer.
All right. Tyler, the producer. We'll do that.
Tyler, the producer, 975, put the 975 on there. Trust me. This is a branding thing.
All right.
I'm a branding genius.
Well, he might want to work someplace other than 975 at some
point.
Well,
he can change it when he leaves, okay?
Right. What is he going to be like?
Guess what? Tyler the producer, 790 works. Tyler the producer, 610. Tyler the producer, whatever God channel he winds up working for. All of these things work.
Yeah, that won't happen.
But, well, you never know, man. I've told the story before.
I've already hung out with y'all too much, so.
Well, I've told the story before when we thought we were getting sold to a Christian station. And all of us were like, oh, there is no way in hell that, I mean, there really is no way that we're going to have jobs. And it turned out that a Christian station was buying the other station that Cumulus had for sale and that David Gow was buying us, and we were all very relieved. But, yeah, we had about a week there where we're all just, you know what, we're just going to get drunk on air and do weird stuff and drop F-bombs, maybe have a sex party. Just it's over. We're all, I mean, the religious station's coming and we're gone. But so you never know where you might wind up working. Just keep that in mind. But there you go. Tyler the producer 975. That's you, right? That's your new Twitter handle.
I'll take it.
And then when Laminack gives you grief over it, tell him you're building your brand.
I'll tell him it's Falcon approved.
That's right. That's right. And if he doesn't like that, he knows where to find me. I like Barry though. He doesn't really want to fight with him. All right, let's talk Game of Thrones because we promised you we're going to do this, and one of the reasons that Lewis is here is because he freaks,
there we go.
He even freaks out Jon.
What a great musical intro, by the way. If you don't hear that and get fired up, there's something wrong with you, Fred.
All right, so spoiler alert. We were talking about this. My band is going to make its debut here in about a month and a half at one of our appearances, which we'll be telling you about shortly. I don't want to say anything, but before we come on, this is the music you'll hear.
Better chance I'll watch.
Well, you'll listen. It's not a watch thing. It's a band. It's audio. It's music.
All right.
So, all right, first let's start with this episode. And Lamont was saying it earlier. He's going to be ticked if Arya's dead. If Arya's dead, then what a wasted storyline. And, I mean, I already – that is my least favorite storyline of the last 2 years. It has gone nowhere. It's been stupid. In the books, I hated it. But if she's dead – if she's really dead, then you want to talk about a colossal waste of time. I don't think she is dead, though. I think she's going to find some way to survive. And I am surprised she let herself get caught off guard by the wave, because I knew as soon as I saw that lady who it was, how did she not see it coming?
It was cringeworthy. And then she gets out of the water, and she's seen by, like, 50 people. Like, there's no way that no one – that's not – word's not going to get back. Hey, did you see that, like – 13-year-old girl, or I guess Maisie Williams is like 18 now. But anyways, Do you see that girl bleeding out of her gut walking around?
It was kind of cool, though, her looking at the faces, not knowing at that point. Because every face she's noticing, that was the only thing
Could
I liked about.
Could be the person that finished it, yeah.
Right. That's the only thing I liked about the entire scene, the storyline just blows, let's be honest.
This is the only reason I'm not totally selling on that storyline, Fred, is because the payoff has to be awesome. Like, she has to get back to Westeros and just start assassinating people with her newly found assassin skills, right? That has to be the payoff. And this is what I always tell people when they come up with theories that suck. I'm like, why would George Martin do this? And I get the TV show has a little more leeway now with what to do with his ideas, but why would they spend that much time developing her character and not actually pay it off? It would have served no purpose to have her die in that water.
But think about how often he does that in the books.
Well, every death has kind of filled some kind of purpose. Right,
not like, all of them. I mean, there's a few in there where you're just like, okay, that was unnecessary. What's the point? What was the point of introducing me to this person?
Okay, well, like a very simplistic sense, right? Ned's death starts a war, right?
Right.
Narrative purpose for Ned's death, starting a war. War's more exciting for the TV show than a bunch of people talking trash to each other and saying what they will do if something happens in King's Landing, right? I mean, so from the TV show's perspective, is Arya coming back and assassinating somebody like Cersei or Walder Frey that's on her list that would get the fans really excited? Like, isn't that a much better payoff than her dying in Braavos before using her skills?
Of course it is, but if she dies in Braavos, then again, it's just a wasted storyline that meant nothing. It took us nowhere. So she can't die, right? If she does, then you're just going to say, okay, that was a poorly... Because if there's no purpose to something, if it's just, oh, she dies at the end of this, then what was it really about?
Here's my prediction. She's going to get back to Westeros, and she is going to kill, like, two or three really important people, and then we're going to let our guard down, and at some point, Jack and Hagar, the faceless man, like the lead dude, he's just going to put a knife in her. Like, right at the end of the show, when you think that she's safe and everything's cool, you can't escape them forever. Like, that's how I think it's going to play out.
Yeah, I'm not even sure she gets back to Westeros. I think she winds up with that acting troupe for a while, and then
really?
She stays over there. Yeah,
man, they got to pay off on her training.
I just don't think they're going to.
I
think it's again. I think the whole thing was just. I don't want to say a complete waste, but
I will say it's a waste with you if that's what happens.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned Samwell's storyline is boring too. Yeah, that's another one. I think. Part of, and AJ and I always say this, it's a bad episode if you don't focus on, well, and I'm going to almost take Daenerys out of this because it used to be Daenerys, Tyrion, Jon Snow.
Right.
As long as you
the big three.
As long as you had two of those three in the episode, it was a good episode. Daenerys' story has become incredibly boring to me. It's the same thing over and over. Oh, she's making a speech on a dragon. Ooh, here we go. Yeah, you know what happened the last time you made a speech? You didn't do a damn thing.
Right.
You know, you're still over here in Marine. You should have been over there taking care of business. And you know what? Just because you're all inspired and on a dragon now, sorry.
She is going to look like a crazy person when she lands in Westeros with all the Dothraki and dragons. Like, people aren't going to flock to her like she's their savior. They're going to feel like she's there to kill them.
Soccer Bilal asks a good question. Do you believe the theory that Arya is Edward Norton in Fight Club and she's imagining she gets stabbed?
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, that theory's out there.
Really?
I'm surprised. I actually know about a fan theory that you don't.
See, I don't buy, like, I'm not in on the crazy TV show theories. Like, I'm in on the book theories that also apply to the TVs, if that makes sense. I just plural.
Okay, so you're kind of a nerd snob is what you're telling me.
A little bit. There are a few
so
things that I'm like that about.
Only theories that apply to the book that you're into.
No, but, like, listen, like, I just told you why I think that Arya's not dead. Is that a theory? I don't know if you would call that a theory, but I'm just looking at it from the narrative perspective and saying, okay, well, there would be no purpose for all of that character development and all of those endless scenes in Bravos for training to be an assassin if she doesn't kill somebody in a cool way.
There's also a weird theory going around that the Meisters are the ones who are trying to get rid of magic and that they're actually the ones running everything.
I'm familiar with that one.
You know, we'll keep this going. We come back right now. And as a matter of fact, we'll do a lot more Game of Thrones next segment. But right now, I got to tell you about Omaha Steaks. And, man, if you want the perfect Father's Day gift, dads love steak. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a dad. I love steak. And when my dad was alive, he loved steak. Guess what? If your dad loves to grill, like I love to make those Jack Daniels burgers of mine. Here you go. Here's the perfect Father's Day gift. Get this for your dad. If my kids are listening, dudes, get this for me. If you guys just want to get me a Father's Day gift, cool. If you just want to get a cool gift, here's what you do. $49.99, you get my limited Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter Fred in the search bar to apply the savings. Guys, $49.99 plus shipping and handling. 80% off of what this would cost you. Here's what you get. Two tender mild filet mignon, two bold beefy top sirloins, four crispy chicken fried steaks. That'd be $49.99 right there. I could just stop, right? No. How about four juicy boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha steak burgers, four award-winning gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound of steakhouse fries. I'm not done yet. Four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, and guess what? Just because you're buying the package, four additional burgers for free. Get this limited-time package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com, type Fred in the search bar, and add Father's Day package to your cart. Omaha Steaks, omahasteaks.com.
It's a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And we'll see. We might squeeze in a phone call here or two this segment on Game of Thrones. But we have Lewis Woodard with us, who's a huge Game of Thrones geek. And Lamont says he wanted to see more Bran's download. I think the storylines that I'm not interested in are Arya. Right now, Daenerys, until she actually does something. To me, the most interesting stuff is going on in King's Landing. And a texter mentioned, I don't like the new Jon Snow. I have to agree.
He has been really weak.
But it also gets to a theory that when people die and come back, they're never quite the same.
Yes.
He's not the same. He's kind of a, you know what? I'll say it.
He came back really soft. I mean, he was like very sensitive about it. My brother stabbed me. I tried to do the right thing, and they stabbed me. So there's got to be some weird moment between him and Sansa coming up, because Sansa has a fresh Vale army coming up through the neck south, and she's not even telling Jon about it. Jon's like, I'm vastly outnumbered. I'm going to go attack Ramsay Bolton right now. And she's like, okay, cool. She's going to use the person who she thinks is her brother as basically, I don't know, someone that weakens Ramsay Bolton for her fresh army in the south.
That was totally a non old school Jon Snow move. It's like, oh, we have to attack now. That's not what he would have done. He would have before the death. He would have thought it out and made the right decision because he was strategically so much better before that. And I just don't think he's the same person. And it's interesting. Here's one for you. What do you think? What do you make of the theory that the girl walking past Arya with Arya's pigtail hairstyle in the stabbing scene is actually her, and the Arya who got stabbed was Jaqen, testing if the Wave would let Arya suffer when she went to kill her, according to the Reddit Game of Thrones page? This is what I mean when you guys go too far with this stuff.
No. It would be way too hard to pull that off in the show. Like, how would you start next episode? Like, Arya pulling off a different face and, like, Jacken pulling off Arya's face and dying?
That's a thing. I don't know.
So, okay, but...
I could see that.
Here's one thing, though. At the end of that last episode, Arya was clearly struggling to walk around. But in the trailer for the show, like the preview before the season even started, there's a scene of her jumping off a roof. Like, she's doing, like, parkour in the trailer. So how is she going to get healthy enough to, like... end up in some crazy, you know, chase on foot? So I don't know if there's going to be some time that goes by, and that's in episode 10. I'm not buying the fake Arya plot there.
2-1 says, you're dead wrong about Arya's future. She didn't train to kill for 4 seasons to not use it in a major role at some point. I'm agreeing with you. I don't know what her future is. I would just, if this is it, then... I'm totally agreeing with you. You trained for 4 years. You've invested us in this for 4 years for nothing. That's what concerns me. The other big part of the episode was the return of the Hound. And the Hound's story as to how he survived. I have to admit, I was very disappointed that Ian McShane only lasted one episode. I was really looking forward to him being in the show. I'm a huge fan of Deadwood. I was a huge fan of Swearengen. Most of the quotes, Swearengen quotes, I can't do on air, but he and his character was interesting. He was, although not really believable, because as he's telling the story of what they are, you realize these guys would have been whacked months ago, and that's what happened. So really, that his only existence in the existence of those people was to bring the Hound back. That's really all they were. They were just fillers to bring the Hound back.
That dialogue between him and Rory McCann, the guy who plays the Hound, was really strong, though. Like, he killed it in his one performance, but it's just like, you know, you've got Max von Sydow on for 2 or 3 episodes.
Right,
Sean Bean last half a season. They've killed some really great actors.
Yeah, they have. And I had just hoped that there would be more to Ian McShane's character than one episode. And Lamont said, we were also just about how Game of Thrones just did away with the Sand Snakes. It's just like last year when they did away with Bran. That group will be back at some point. And it's interesting to me that now lesbian Greyjoy is off to try to get Daenerys. The other Greyjoys are off to try to get Daenerys. And Sansa obviously was sending a raven to get the Knights of the Vale, right? That's what we all assume. If she were smart, she would be sending that to Theon. If they brought those ships and troops north instead of going to Daenerys, and Jon Snow would forgive him if he helped them win back Winterfell.
Yeah. I think that the reason they're going to see Daenerys is they realize that, I mean, she has the WMDs, right? Like, if you're trying to rule the Iron Islands, and they could give a you-know-what about helping the Starks get the north back. Maybe Theon, some part of him does, but Yara doesn't care about that. She wants to sit on the salt chair, right? So she wants Daenerys's force. Like, she thinks that's the only way she can beat her uncle Euron to rule the Iron Islands is by getting Daenerys's help. And Theon, as we've seen, is such a beta right now. He's not going to tell his sister, no, we're going to the north to undo some bad that we've done.
Biso says, you're never satisfied. By the way, it's Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. It's you are. I'm sorry, but...
Journalist, Fred.
Yeah. You complained about Arya, it's A-R-Y-A, by the way, storyline being boring, things finally change, and you still don't like it, SMH. Yeah, things change. You take the end of a boring storyline and make it make less sense? Yes, I think it sucks, okay? It's not that I'm never satisfied. There's a lot of things I'm satisfied with. I love this bleeping show. That storyline, I don't. And that result, I don't. Doesn't mean I'm never satisfied. And frankly, I think the... what's happening in King's Landing now has become the most interesting part of the show. That and Bran. I want to see more of Bran's weird downloads, as Lamont put it.
Do you want to know anything potentially spoilerish about this, the downloads?
Sure, bring it. I mean, everybody here wants spoilers. That's why they're listening.
The actor who plays young Ned has said that the only other episode he's in is episode 10. So we're likely going to get the young Ned discovers Jon Snow is his sister's kid, that whole thing. That whole theory, the R plus L equals J, that just about everybody believes.
Explain that theory.
So I don't mean to nerd out on everybody.
No, I mean, I know what it is, but explain it.
Right. So the majority of Game of Thrones book fans are all in consensus that Jon Snow is the child of Lyanna Stark, Ned's sister, and Rhaegar Targaryen.
Which we should find out from Bran's visions this
right,
year.
Right, in episode 10.
Theoretically.
Probably. And so Jon, I guess that makes Jon Snow heir to the throne, but the whole point of Westeros is that there is no heir to the throne. It's just whoever has the biggest army ends up winning it, right?
Right.
And Daenerys has dragons. So I don't know what that reveal of his parentage is ultimately going to mean.
But the whole thing with Tyrion, though, is he's also one of them.
Probably.
Right? Yeah.
I would say that I'm like...
That they all, the mothers all died in childbirth.
Yeah.
And I know we're getting into really geeky stuff here, but that's why he's here.
Okay. I just lied. I said I didn't know what the reveal would do. In the books, they've made it clear that only Targaryens can ride dragons. So if
right.
Dany rides one of them, then a Targaryen has to ride the other two because she can't control all three. She can only control Drogon.
Right.
So Jon's going to end up with one of the other dragons. I think that's
And we assume Tyrion is the third one because
right.
there is another Targaryen in the books, which...
He's a phony, probably.
Which apparently is a total red herring because
yeah.
he's not in the series, and by now he would have had to been in the series.
Right.
One of the characters associated with him is the one that got grayscale. Instead, it was Jorah Mormont.
Yep.
So yeah, that whole Griff line from the books we now know is... And see, that's another reason why I'm not all that excited about the next book, because I know there's going to be a Griff storyline, and I don't care because I know that he doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but it's going to be cool to see how it plays out, though. Like, to me, it's bonus footage. Like, if you like the TV show, you end up getting way more detail, and you end up getting... In some cases, the better telling of some stories. In some cases, you know, it ends up being worse because there are way too many unnecessary words. But
right. One more question. Do you think we actually see Lady Stoneheart this year?
I don't think so, and here's why. I think we would have heard if that actress who plays Lady Stoneheart had been casted again, right? Like, there was all... I know that people wouldn't have been following that the same way they were following Kit Harington's.
Oh, no, they were following it, believe me, because there was... there was a report that she is listed in an episode this year.
Okay. Do you think it would cheapen John's return if she came back also? I think that's what you worry about if you're the TV writers.
Not really. I mean, again.
She's a wreck. She can't even talk.
Right.
Like, she's just like a disgusting, disfigured zombie with her throat slit, just hell-bent on a revenge mission.
But somebody...
How could the TV show resist that?
No, it's got to, right? And somebody's got to kill the Freys. And
Arya.
It's not going to be Arya.
Arya's going to get in there and get
Walder.
I think
it's going to be Lady Stoneheart comes back and she slits Walder Frey's throat right in front of everybody.
That would be great, actually.
But anyway, and I guess the other big thing is it the Hound versus the Mountain now?
Clegane Bowl.
In Cersei's. And you know what? I tell you what, I'd probably have to go with the Hound versus sort of Zombie Mountain, who I don't know if he's as quick as he used to be.
He looked pretty good hacking that log into pieces, didn't he? Looks like he's been training for this moment.
Yeah, I think he can
do it.
We
need a Rocky IV training montage next episode.
All right. We have to take a quick break, and we've got a guest coming up when we come back. There you go. And you know what? We may drop the Hey Man Bleep that today just to go ahead and, you know, keep talking some Thrones. So I'm also curious what you guys, you know, if you guys are going to rank Lewis a little better because now he's – you know, kind of kicking butt.
Thanks, Fred. I wasn't sure about my performance before this hour, but...
You were doing fine. I mean, now...
A little tentative.
Now, to be fair, comparing you to the other two guys, yeah, you were getting an A+.
Okay.
But that's also... I was about to say something totally inappropriate.
You don't have to.
I'm going to tell you guys about Melting Pot, which I know you know all about. Terrific place. And great place to take a date. Guys, you really want to impress that girl. Or girls, you really want to impress that guy. Suggest a Melting Pot. And you're going to go in. The fondue experience is really cool. You get to collaborate on what you're going to eat. The food's fantastic. The wine list is fantastic. The beer list is fantastic. And if you really want to walk out of there and say, dude, I'm scoring tonight, that's your place. But better than that, how about Father's Day? You want to take dad to an awesome place and... You know, give him an experience he'll remember. Not just honestly, if you just take your dad to some nothing restaurant, he's not going to remember it. It's going to be like, okay, you're just doing this because you're my kid. You have to. No, you really want to impress him. Take him to the Melting Pot and get this great Father's Day deal: a 4-course meal with endless entree. Dad's first beer is free, $39.95 a person. You cannot beat that. And for kids, $18.95. And these meals are fantastic. So you want to go and have an experience where Dad's going to love it, you're going to love it. This is a place to go, the Melting Pot. And I'll tell you what, easy to find. It's on Westheimer, not too far from the Galleria. Check it out. Make your reservations. Enjoy yourself when you go there, whether it's a date, whether it's taking Dad. But this is how you want to do it for Father's Day. Go check out the Melting Pot. And I promise you, you're going to love it. Dad's going to love it. The food is fantastic. Check them out right now. Melting Pot on Galleria. I promise you, whether it's Dad or whether it's your date, you will thank me later. That's a Melting Pot.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Revelry on Richmond. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Revelry on Richmond. No A.J., Lewis Woodard filling in, doing a great job with Game of Thrones, among everything else. And right now joining us is the fifth-generation owner of Omaha Steaks, and you just heard me a minute ago talk about all the great things that you can get from this Father's Day package. And I have to tell you, when I got this, there was no way that was under $50 worth of stuff. I mean, we're still working on it. And Todd Simon joins us. Todd, how are you, sir? We appreciate the time. And I have to say, I love your steaks.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's great to be here, and it's great to be talking about Father's Day, and it's great to be a father at this time of the year, and I'm really excited to be here. Thanks.
This deal you guys have is amazing. $49.99 plus shipping and handling, and I got to tell you, what is the actual dollar number on how much that's worth? It's got to be close to $300.
I think it's something like that. I'm not. This is the deal that you've got a search code for that on OmahaSteaks.com that'll get your customer or get your listeners to that, right?
Right. Yeah. Just Fred in the search bar. Yeah.
Right. Fred in the search bar. So there's that one, and then we've got a whole bunch of other stuff. Great gifts for Father's Day at OmahaSteaks.com. We polled dads and asked them, "What do you want for Father's Day?" Almost 2/3 of them said they'd like steak for Father's Day. And they don't just want any steak. They want filet mignons, which are in that package you're talking about. And they also want T-bones. We've got a package that has 2 18-ounce T-bones. It's also got our brisket burgers, our gourmet franks, and our steak seasoning. That's for $69.99. And we've got a package with ribeyes, which is the other steak that Dad really liked. Filets, ribeyes, and T-bones. Ribeyes, 12-ounce ribeyes. These are gigantic. And if you like it, ribeyes is sort of that classic, well-marbled, just gorgeous steak. And those also come with burgers. Stuffed baked potatoes, burgers, kielbasa sausages, boneless pork chops, and signature seasoning, also for $69.99 at OmahaSteaks.com.
Yeah, that's a lot of amazing deals. And let me just ask, because Omaha Steaks has been around for a long time, talk about the concept of this and how you guys get great steaks to people all around the country and basically what your mission statement is.
Well, so our mission statement is to deliver exceptional experiences guaranteed. And, you know, because we don't look at when you buy from Omaha Steaks as you're just like getting meat in a box, right? We look at it as you're giving the gift of getting your family and friends together for an awesome experience together. And Father's Day is a perfect opportunity for that. I mean, you give Dad steaks for Father's Day, and Dad's going to go out to the grill and cook them, which is like, well, you know, well, maybe he should be resting up on Father's Day. But what Dad really wants, what I want, and I'm a dad, is to put awesome food on the table for Father's Day and bring my family around me at that time. So, you know, we started 100 years ago by my great-great-grandfather. We've expanded to be the largest direct-to-consumer seller of steaks and other gourmet foods. And we're a multi-channel marketer. So in addition to OmahaSteaks.com, you can also call our 800 number, which you can find on the website. You can visit our retail stores. We actually have 2 stores in the Houston market, one at Town & Country Village and one in Baybrook Gateway. So, you know, we're just trying to make sure that no matter where our customers are, when you want something for Father's Day or for a great cookout, you can get it at Omaha Steaks.
All right, that's Todd Simon, fifth-generation owner of Omaha Steaks. Todd, we appreciate the time. Those are great deals, and check them all out at OmahaSteaks.com. Appreciate you coming on, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, and you have a great Father's Day and a great grilling season.
And you do the same. All right, Todd Simon, Omaha Steaks. So it's so funny how I've got about 30 tweets and about 50 texts. Love the Game of Thrones talk. Keep going. And there's always one guy. You people are still talking about Game of Thrones?
Sports.
Yeah. So here's a couple things. Josh, because at least Sansa seems to be finally taking a lead in doing things. Does it seem like Sansa is trying to get rid of Davos as John's main advisor? I mean, basically, and she's right. It's like, well, what happened to Stannis? He's got no head. And but it seems like she really wants that role. She wants to be the one doing that. And I think Davos has a – and where's Melisandre? I mean,
that's a great question. I didn't even think about her.
I think about her all the time.
I know.
Dude.
Honestly, Carice Van Houten, that's her name?
She looks just like my right hand. Not when she's not wearing the necklace. But when she's wearing the necklace, yes, right hand.
Boom. That has to be, like, the sexiest 40-year-old woman in the world. Like, I looked up her age on Wikipedia, and I was stunned.
I don't see her as a 40-year-old. I see her as a really hot woman younger than me.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I'm in my 20s, so I look at that, and I'm like, wow, how does she still look that good?
Really? See, yeah. I tell you what.
Was that rude, Fred?
No, it's not rude. It's just what 20-year-olds say.
Okay.
Trust me, once you get, like, mid-30s, you'll be thinking, oh, she's not hot anymore. And then you see mid-30-year-olds who are like, oh, my God. Then you get in your 40s, and like really attractive women take care of themselves, and then get to about 54 before they start falling apart. I mean, at that point, there's nothing they can do, right? Stuff starts to sag. They take their necklaces off, and we see what they really look like. Yeah, but no, they can carry their looks a lot longer than you think, and there'll be a lot of women that you'll be like, oh my God, that woman's 40 years old. She looks 22. I'm like, yeah, okay, all right. It's funny because my wife still gets carded. She just turned 47. She's old. She's ancient. It's about time to trade her in on a younger one. But she still gets carded. So,
I could laugh comfortably at that, but how many times have you traded in? Is this your fourth marriage?
No, third and a half. Third and a half. So,
she's a lovely lady. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you traded that one.
You know, though, I mean, yeah, but... We all get bored, right?
Okay.
It happens.
I'll trust you in relationship advice, Fred.
No, don't trust me in relationship advice.
I'll trust you.
Are you kidding me?
You have far. Isn't this what we do in sports talk all the time? Like, I've been there before. Like, when there's, like, the host athlete show. Like, let me tell you how the locker room is. Like, you know about marriage, and I don't. So, I'm going to trust. I'm gonna let you have the experience card here.
That doesn't. Well, yeah. But it's different for everybody. Some people can put up with crap from anybody for a long time, and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And some people have a very short
fuse.
That's all right. It's just all right. The real – okay, I'm going to give you the one key to any relationship. This is it. It's the best advice I'm ever going to give you guys. This is for you too, David Danger. How much of yourself are you willing to give up before you resent the other person? Because you're going to have to change. If you no matter what, they'll tell you, oh, don't change. I want you to be the same person. They're lying. They want you to change. You want them to change, which is stupid. You should accept people for what they are. But when you go into it, how much of yourself will you give up before you start saying, wait a minute, I'm resenting this person? That's it. That's all a relationship is. And if it's enough to where you're not ever going to resent them, guess what? It'll work. I mean, it doesn't mean she's not going to get bored and cheat on you anyway. It just means, you know, that is the basis of any relationship, and it goes both ways. How much of themselves are they going to give up before they resent you? That's why you guys should never try to change anybody, man. If you don't like the way they are, don't marry them. You should always just, because keep looking. There's always somebody that you can deal with them. That's it. That's the best advice you're ever going to get the rest of your life. And don't be fooled by, oh, well, she's beautiful or he's beautiful. Whatever. Don't be fooled. That's it.
Can't get that anywhere else.
I'm telling you, man, that is gold.
Okay, he's writing a script for a movie. He's been a professional poker player. He's a sportscaster. He wrote a gambling book, and now he just finished a great treatise on dating advice right there. Fred,
to be honest, that whole dating rant is in my novel, which is becoming a movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so that's actually rolled up in something else. You're not quite the Renaissance man, I thought.
Actually, well, no, I have to say the great thing about this movie is it's got gambling, it's got religion, it's got Jesus maybe or maybe not, and it's got the mob.
I'm in.
You can't beat that, right? And it's funny, poignant, and at times has information like that. It's going to be a great movie. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is a Renters Warehouse.com Roadshow.
Live from Revelry on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Dude, do not spill that beer. I will kill you with my bare hands. Enter the Father's Day giveaway from Omaha Steaks. Tweet pictures of your steaks, burgers, and beer at ESPN 97.5 with hashtag BeefUpYourLife and hashtag Omaha Steaks, and you'll be entered to win the Omaha Steaks Father's Day Pack. These beefy packs include two filet mignons, two top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, four boneless pork chops, four Omaha burgers, four gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, a pound of steak fries, four made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, and more. Yes, there's more than what I just listed. These delicious packs are available for just $50. Get yours at omahasteaks.com. Type Fred in the search bar. Grab your dad and fire up the grill, but don't grab him in an inappropriate way. And we have a giveaway for you guys. We're actually going to give away one of their Father's Day packs right now. Their T-bone gift, two 18-ounce T-bone steaks, four 6-ounce brisket burgers, four 3-ounce gourmet jumbo franks, and their signature seasoning packet. This is a $69.99 package. We're going to give it to you because we love you. Caller number 15, 713-780-3776. Tyler, did I do that right? Okay, great. So I'm done with all the business stuff, and we can talk to Rachel about beer, which is what I want.
What I'm here for.
Okay, turn her up. Make sure we can hear her.
Can we hear me now?
Yeah.
All right.
Rachel from Revelry on Richmond, who is the beer goddess here. And we've had you on before, and you know, you and I kind of share a love for great beer. You guys have a fantastic selection here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I come here a lot on the weekends when I do my little bike around downtown until I get too drunk to bike anymore, and this is always one of my stops. And you guys have a dog-friendly patio. You can bring your dog and sit out back and drink really cool beer.
Really cool beer. We've got a lot of fun games out there, so many TVs, all of the sports you need. It's the perfect Saturday fun day spot.
Well, this is what I love about you guys. You have Bishop's Barrel 12 and 13. You've got 40 beers, craft beers on tap. So what are some of the new things you have that people might like? Now, I'm a porter and stout guy.
Absolutely. I am right there with you. I love me a good, big, dark beer. But I think that one thing that we can both agree on is that Buffalo Bayou does a lot of really fun stuff. And so we really love their Wake and Bake right now because it's going to have all those really great dark beer flavors. But it's a cream ale, so it's still so light and drinkable for on our patio.
Especially during the summer, you want lighter. It's funny, we were talking about that off air. When I first heard about the Wake and Bake, I thought, okay, this sounds hideous. But I'm going to try it because I try everything Buffalo Bayou does.
Can't say no to them.
I freaking love it. I mean, it's amazing. So what'd you bring us here?
So over here we're going to have on the left is Buffalo Bayou again. It's called Bee's Nuts. And it is a porter that they finish with honey and hazelnut. So it's going to be sweeter than a traditional porter, but it's still so good and it's so fun and different.
See, I haven't had this yet.
Okay, so, first try.
So here we go. See, is it wrong that I kind of do like wine nerds do wine, where they kind of swill it for a second?
Yeah,
first.
No, you want to swill it around. And even
no, this is very good.
With beer, you want to, especially darker beers, let them get warmer. Hold the glass in your hand and let your body heat kind of warm that beer. It's going to open up all those flavors.
Okay, so I got in. A friend of mine was over the other night, and he was mad because I had a very cool, well, I'll tell you what it was. I had a BBH vanilla that I've been aging for about a year and a half.
Nice.
And I drank it at room temperature.
I didn't get an invite to that.
Well, you should have been with us Friday night. We'll do it again. Trust me.
Deal.
But he's mad at me for drinking it at room temperature. And I go, no, this is perfect at room temperature at this age.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? I wasn't crazy, right?
No, not at all. Absolutely. I always try to let people know, and even, you know, the bigger the beer, the smaller the glass, because you want to let that beer open up. And, yeah, it's good to taste it when it's cold and it's been refrigerated, but let it open up and you're going to totally drink a different beer at the end of that bottle than at the beginning.
So what do you got on the horizon here before we end the show? You got anything new coming?
On the horizon, well, we're going to be working with St. Arnold's to do a Christmas in July event, so you're going to want to stay posted for that, and we'll be featuring Bishop's Barrel 12, which was their Christmas ale that was aged in wine barrels with like some sour, fun, funky stuff, so...
All right, well, I'll be here for that.
All right.
I'm in. All right, Rachel, really appreciate it. Thanks for bringing the beer by. And, guys, Revelry on Richmond, this is what I love about this place. Besides the great food, I had the burger earlier, and I know I shouldn't, but I want to have another one because it was so good. But you can tell she knows her beer, so that's why their beer selection is so terrific. And if you come here and she's here, just tell her, man. She'll get you the beer you want.
That's what I'm here for.
Anyway, we appreciate the time. Great talking to you again.
Thank you so much, guys. Great having y'all here.
All right. Lewis, good job, man.
Appreciate it.
I'm giving you an A+.
Well, wow.
She gets an A+. But
I don't know if I can accept that.
David is going to rally from his F- to a serious D+. Tyler gets a C. I give myself a B for carrying you a-holes today. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.